Hey, you want that to go?
Our first takeout on the news comes from Todd Zwillick, our Washington correspondent. And while all this discussion of the situation in Haiti has been going on, there were negotiations for a final health care reform bill that's dominating the situation in Washington. And it's all about a disagreement among Democrats, not between Democrats and Republicans. The administration is at odds over some Democrats. And Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick is here to explain it all. Good morning, Todd.
Hi. Good morning, John.
So what are they disagreeing on?
Well, high-cost health care plans we've talked about, and of course that's a major issue between Democrats. The president has said he likes the Senate plan, which is to tax high-cost health plans, get revenue to pay for this bill, and at the same time discourage employers from purchasing these so-called Cadillac plans that cost a lot. But it's not the only issue. The Senate also wants these. Remember, we've been talking about these exchanges, these sort of marketplaces, right, where you can buy health care and people compete for prices, drive down prices. The Senate wants these to be bifurcated, a separate one in each of the 50 states. The House says no way. It has to be national or else it won't have any market clout. So these are some of the main issues. There are others. But the president is really involved now. You know, John, throughout this whole debate, Democrats have been complaining in Congress that the president is kind of remaining aloof. You know, you got Joe Lieberman running around and Ben Nelson from, yep, Nebraska running around and Blue Dogs, and the president's not giving any direction. Well, he is now. Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid and some other leading Democrats went to the White House yesterday for what was supposed to be an hour-long meeting on health care, stretched to over 8 hours, mostly with the president. Now, we understand that he was in and out of the room dealing with world leaders on the earthquake situation in Haiti as well. But a lot of that time was with the president. Meanwhile, labor leaders also in the West Wing in a separate room, while the Democratic leaders are in another room, possibly a bit of a shuttle diplomacy situation going on because labor's so very upset, you know, about these negotiations.
Sure. Well, the tax on Cadillac health plans would go directly at unions. We've had the AFL-CIO president even address that issue on this program. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, thanks so much.
And now for a takeout on business. The leaders of the four big Wall Street banks were called to Capitol Hill to testify before the Financial Crisis Inquiry Commission. Hours and hours of questioning. They seem to take very little responsibility for the human error that contributed to the crisis.
Looking back on this now, would you look back on some of the financings as negligent or improper?
In the context of the world that we were in, I think those were very typical behaviors.
Louise Story, finance reporter for our partner, the New York Times. That's Lloyd Blankfein, the head of Goldman Sachs, saying that those were typical behaviors that led to the crisis. Why does that make me uneasy?
Morning, Celeste. Well, if you listened carefully, he did not answer the question.
No.
The question was, were those negligent behaviors? And he did not say if they were negligent or not. He said they were typical. And that is what you're hearing among the survivors of this crisis. The leaders of these banks, the ones that did not fail, the ones that are still here, are saying, look, this was what the world was like. This is what we were doing. This is what everyone was doing. And we did it less because we survived. The ones who really did it badly failed. And that's how they answer the
questions.
So
it's the old, I was speeding officer because everybody else was going the same rate of speed.
That is the tone. That is the tone. Now, there's going to be a lot more hearings from this commission. Their goal is to get to the bottom of the financial crisis. They have a year to do it. The head of the commission put it yesterday. He said that we are a proxy for the American people, their eyes, their ears, and possibly also their voice. So they're taking this seriously to dig in and figure out what went wrong.
So had the answers from the bankers changed, or maybe the questions from the lawmakers?
What I feel is different. You know, a year ago, there was a hearing in Washington with the 8 leaders of the biggest banks that took the bailout, and I covered that. And that hearing was all about asking them for advice. How do we end this crisis? How do we keep you alive? How do we stabilize the markets? And there was a real shift in tone. Now that the markets are stabilized, you are seeing a lot more tar and feathering and a lot more hard questions, in part, I think, because leaders in Washington think they can question people now because they've stabilized the system, and also in part because, as a public, we've all learned more in the past year about what really happened, and I think we'll learn even more over the next year. I know that we're planning to continue deep reporting on what caused this.
Well, we'll see if that any of that leads to reform, though. Louise Story, finance reporter for The New York Times.
We turn now again to Haiti. And you're hearing there the sounds of workers by hand trying to remove rubble to free survivors in a nation that's waiting for heavy equipment to even begin the rescue operation in earnest. Perhaps 3 million people are at risk for problems associated with contaminated water, the lack of food. Millery Polonay, professor of American Studies at New York University, give me a sense of the sort of visual picture of the difficulties, say, bringing in water by truck or bringing airlifting in food supplies and getting it distributed.
Well, for a long time, the roads in Haiti have not been well. I mean, going 15 to 20 miles may take, up to 2 hours. Heavy traffic, mass migration of people, so it's a heavy populated area. Now with the earthquake, it's even more time.
And your cousin, who I believe didn't survive the earthquake, was 2 hours away.
So 2 hours away.
I mean, but that was not by the crow flying 2 hours away.
Right.
There was no hope when his house collapsed.
Exactly.
And is there anything that the aid operation can do to make that easier? Is there any sort of quick rebuilding that is possible here? Or really, are the people going to have to come to the aid rather than the aid come to the people?
Well, for the people, they must come. They have to work first. And they've been doing it thus far. If we wait on people from the outside, it's not going to happen.
And what's
as quickly as you like.
As quickly as you like.
Yeah.
And what's been the track record on hurricanes in Haiti? Has the aid worked there?
It's always been sketchy. For a long time, corrupt governments have taken the money that's been given. Other times, it's worked.
All that will be tested, certainly, this time around. Millery Polonay, professor of American Studies at New York University. Coming up, what is the responsibility of the world's richest nation in response to the devastating earthquakes that have rocked the Caribbean nation of Haiti? You can give us your take at 877-8-MY-TAKE or email us at mytake@thetakeaway.org. It's a war on Al-Qaeda, says Barack Obama. What does journalist Peter Baker think about that?
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.